Greg, let me say, first of all, of course, we spoke during the legislative session. This was not your first trip to Missouri for this legislation, and you've traveled over many parts of the country talking about similar bills. What's your reaction to getting that signed today?
I'm pretty ecstatic about this. This has been a four-year process, and it's finally going to be law in Missouri, so I'm really thrilled.
What is the importance of this law to you? Let's back up a little bit and tell folks your story.
Well, it all boils down to what happened to my daughter Kelsey. She was kidnapped on June 2nd, 2007 from a Target store in Overland Park, and for 4 days we didn't know where she was or what had happened to her or anything. And we could not get the locate information from the cell phone company to help try to locate her. And at the end of that 4 day period, that information was finally released by the cell phone company, and Kelsey's body was found within about 45 minutes after that information was released to law enforcement. So we know that getting information to law enforcement in a missing person case as quickly as possible is key to being able to recover that person alive. And we think that this is a tool that helps do that.
How does that technology work?
Basically, it depends on the provider that you have. But in basic terms, one of two things happens. A cell phone company can either go back and look at the history of your phone as to what cell phone towers it made contact with. All of our cell phones constantly talk to the towers and basically say, "Hey, here I am," even when you're not using it. Or conversely, they can actually send an active pulse out to the phone and tag that phone, and that phone will come back and say, "Yeah, I'm over here." And then that information can be released to law enforcement, and then they can go to that point and start their search.
And you've said in your testimony, you've said that in places where this technology has been used in circumstances similar to what happened to your daughter, there has been some success in finding missing persons.
Absolutely has. In fact, that day that we were there this last time testifying in front of the committee, there was a 911 area coordinator that spoke of, from the Kansas side, that spoke of how they've used it and been able to successfully locate people. And we've had people contact us at the Kelsey Smith Foundation and let us know that their law enforcement agency has used the technology in a situation that one of their family members was in, and they were able to find their family member. So it's very gratifying to be able to have somebody come home safe.
I want to understand what the situation is that unfolded with your daughter and how you kind of characterize this. Is this a case where the cell phone providers are not wanting to cooperate? Do they feel that they can't cooperate? I mean, was this law more to make them provide the information, or was it to allow them to provide the information, whereas before they felt they couldn't under the law?
It's a little of both, actually. There's federal law that's been in place, the Federal Communications Act, but I mean it's decades old and doesn't necessarily reflect the current technology. But also in the Homeland Security Act, there's language to the effect that law enforcement or that a cell phone company may provide information in an emergency situation to law enforcement, but and it's may the language it's up to the cell phone company if they want to provide that information or not. What the Kelsey Smith Act does is changes that language from may to shall, so that once law enforcement has determined that this person is missing and possibly in danger of serious bodily harm or death, the shall kicks in and the cell phone provider has to release that locate information for that cellular device. And that's all they release. They're not releasing content or anything like that. It's just where's this device at? And that gives law enforcement a step up on being able to locate that person, because time is absolutely critical in a missing person case. And usually, if they're not recovered within the first 48 hours, they're not going to be recovered alive.
Now, what has to happen in order to ping that phone in order to be able to use this? In other words, if law enforcement is trying to find someone they think has committed a crime, they couldn't come in and use this, right?
Absolutely not. It's specific guidelines that are set up. This is set to help locate someone that's missing and believed to be in danger of serious bodily harm or the danger of death, and that's what it's used for. We know that there have been cases where someone may have gone missing, say due to Alzheimer's or dementia. They wandered off, but they had a cell phone, and law enforcement was able to utilize the technology to find that person. before any harm could come to them. We know of a stroke victim that was unable to speak, but he could continually dial his home phone number from his cell phone. That was the only thing he could remember to do, and that was enough. And law enforcement used the Kelsey Smith Act, and they were able to find this gentleman and get him to the hospital.
Now, that determination whether or not harm, you know, whether or not a person's in danger and so on, is that a determination that's made by a judge? In other words, is it like applying for a warrant?
No, it's a determination that's made by law enforcement. They're the people that have the training and the experience to determine whether or not someone would be in that situation. The beauty of the Kelsey Smith Act is that it speeds up the process because you don't have to apply for a warrant in order to get that information. Going through the warrant process and that can take time, and so that's why this is so narrowly defined in scope just for these situations, because really it's what it would fall into what would be considered an exigent circumstance, so the warrant requirement is waived.
And is there a time frame that has to be met? I think of missing persons cases where you always hear about law enforcement agencies saying, well, you know, we don't consider it to be this kind of case until the person's been gone 24 hours. How does that play into it?
Well, it depends on each law enforcement agency. Technically, again, by federal law, as soon as someone goes out of your sight, if you had reason to believe that something had happened to them, there is no mandatory waiting period. And so law enforcement agencies that have that policy in place or actually shouldn't have that policy in place. However, there does have to be some kind of yardstick or measuring stick and some standards that they use to decide, okay, is this a person that, you know, wandered off on purpose, or was there some kind of foul play involved? And that's the determination, and that's where the skill and the experience and the training of law enforcement comes in.
Now, like so many things, there may be folks who want to be able to opt out of this. Maybe they don't want their cell phone to be locatable under this law. Is there a mechanism for a person to do that?
Well, I mean, a lot of the phone companies have voluntary programs that you can enter into a contract agreement with them to track phones just as a service that they provide, and you can opt out of those. As far as this goes, this is a law that's used to help find somebody and try to save lives, so there really is no opt-out option to this. It's law enforcement determination that you're in a situation where you could have serious bodily harm or death, and they've determined that they need to locate you. We've also had a situation where a woman was thought to have been missing, reported missing by her husband, and it turned out when law enforcement was able to locate her that she was actually fleeing from an abusive situation. So in that case, law enforcement simply let the husband, because he's the one that had reported it, say, yes, your wife is fine, and that's it. They wouldn't tell him where she was, where she went, or what she was doing.
Now, as far as we can, sitting here today, can know, how technologically restricted is this? I mean, as cell phones and equipment develop and evolve over future years, could this need to be altered in the future for it to continue to work?
I suppose it could. I mean, right now we're operating, most of the phones now are switching. If they haven't, they will be very soon on the GPS system, which kind of does away with the need to ping a phone or anything like that, because GPS is constantly, you know, telling the provider, hey, here's where the phone is at. So, you know, if we come up with something new that nobody's anticipated, then we may have to address it again.
And how many states has this become law in as of today?
Missouri becomes the 8th.
And there's an effort, now you've got an effort too to try and make this federal law, don't you?
We do. It's been up in Washington, D.C. since 2010, I think, is when we started that effort. And we have not been able to get a whole lot of traction. Of course, with everything else that's going up on in D.C., that's probably not a surprise. But we've had movement in other countries, the province of Alberta, Canada, has it's made it through its legislative process, and much like Missouri, it's waiting for the executive to proclaim it into law. So it's very possible that it'll become law in Canada, at least in a province in Canada.
All right. Do you see this as kind of a legacy for your daughter?
I do, in a way. I mean, you know, I'd take it all back to have Kelsey back, but the fact that we've done something that she's done something to keep other families from having to go through what we went through and what she went through is it's nice to know that.